All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes scores!
Yes, it's just a...
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They slayed the dragon!
Existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air, let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, hockey season, all one word, at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic. Go check them out on all platforms, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Go check out Zephyr Epic. We are also delivered to you by the great folks at DoorDash. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order on the DoorDash app. Does not get much better than that, folks. My name is David Quadrelli. I am joined, as always, by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. Chris, no 10 minutes where we're going to talk about other stuff here. Like, we're getting right down to business here.
Sure, but first of all...
Oh, here we go.
From Nanaimo to Nipigon.
Zephyr Epic does ship free anywhere in Canada on orders over $50. That is what Chris is trying to say.
I think people enjoy the
cities. People do enjoy it. But we have a lot to get to. Yeah, me too. We have a lot to get to, Chris. We have a lot to talk about.
Not going
to
spend any time on lunch?
No, we're not.
We're not going to spend any time on lunch?
We had lunch at the Parallel 49 Street Kitchen. Fantastic. Everybody go check it out. But Chris, we got to get right down to business.
I just got
to
say, that dip that comes with the wings there. Parmesan dip on the side. Oh, sweet parm dip.
You go ahead, you drop an article at CanucksArmy.com. Great article, by the way, live right now at CanucksArmy.com from this guy right here, Chris Faber.
Put a lot of heavy lifting in building this place.
Yeah, I really spiced up that article, must say. I did a really good job editing it. But you go check out that article at CanucksArmy.com. I was just saying, you come in, you drop that in the morning, people are like, oh man, Faber's going to be bringing the heat. Like, I'm going to make sure I listen to Canucks Combo and make sure I listen to the Canucks warm up with Faber and Quads on Sportsnet 650 at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I'm going to make sure I do all that because I want to hear this guy give his hot takes. And Chris is like, oh yeah, lunch was good.
It was good. It was a good lunch. You had a Muddler's.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. Okay. Like, people want to hear us talk about the Canucks right now, Chris.
Here's the thing. If it was one thing that happened yesterday, and don't get me wrong, a 7-1 loss was one thing for sure. But it's not like it was just one thing that led up to this 7-1 loss.
No.
It's the season that's been going on so far. The players, the coach, the coaches, the general manager, everyone here has to be to blame for a 7-1 loss. Just a horrible performance to start to finish. And it makes you question who is at fault here. To me, it has to go to the guy at the top. It has to go to, maybe not the guy at the top, but the guy who's listening to the guy at the top and working with the guy at the top and Jim Benning. And there's only a few different paths that we can go down for the next little bit of this season. If the Canucks continue to play at a record that they have been to the start of the year, like, have the Canucks been, have you seen one game this year where you're like, that's Canucks hockey? You hear it so much from Bo Horvat. You hear it from like Tanner Pearson, these guys who are supposed to be the leaders in the room. Hear it from Travis Green. What the hell is Canucks hockey? Because, like, Jim Benning and Bo Horvat have been together since, I guess, since Horvat's got here. Benning's been the GM. Everything that Horvat speaks about when he talks about Canucks hockey, I just don't know what the hell it is. The way that I could say Canucks hockey would be, like, inconsistent play. That's what the identity of Canucks hockey seems to be.
The struggle here is that when you ask the players, and when we ask the players, what is this team's identity? You know, they all say the cliche stuff. Like, they're like, yeah, we think we're hard to play against. Like, we really pride ourselves on that. They're giving up more chances than, like, you know, any team in the league over the past 3 years. And it hasn't, they're not a difficult team to play against. Like, I think if you did a player poll around the league and asked who's the most, top five, who are the top five most difficult teams to play against? I don't think any player in the league, maybe even on the Canucks, I don't think they would even put themselves at the top five of the league.
I couldn't see them getting a vote.
No, like,
to be honest. Look at what the Avalanche have been struggling, right?
Yes.
Really struggling this year.
You know, okay.
You think when they see on the schedule that Vancouver's coming to town, they had to be excited to say, you know, this is the time we're going to break out of this little slump. We got Vancouver coming in. That's a team we can feast on. That has to be how they thought.
And they did. And they have no Nathan MacKinnon. That was the Avs without Nathan MacKinnon. Like, let that sink in. That wasn't even the best form of the Avs.
And I think the struggle is like, okay, this is how I would look at it. Jim Benning isn't to blame for a 7-1 loss against the Avalanche. Not 100%. Yeah, he put together the roster that's gotten there. But you look at the season that they've had, the seasons that they've had under Jim Benning, those are a lot to blame to Benning. The losses, the way the roster has been constructed, the defense falling out completely against Abbotsford, but against the Avalanche, but a 7-1 loss, like, looking at it just at that one game, you got to think that the players just, like, they have to be giving up on the coach. Listen, if Travis Green is preaching whatever his game plan is and his strategy to go out there and win games, you need to actually go and win some games for you to believe that what he's telling you works. And after watching that 7-1 loss against the Avalanche, If everything that they have been working towards and want to get on this big road trip and everything that the coach has been preaching throughout practice, they got a decent amount of practice time last week on their homestand, and then that is the first thing you do on the road trip. To me, that's the players were bad. All the players were bad. There wasn't one good Canuck in that game. Nils Höglander had his moments, and I think he got the goal too. I don't even know who got the goal. But a 7-1 loss, as much as it should be on the players, a lot of it, to me, needs to be on the coach as well.
Oh, absolutely. Like, here's the thing, folks, is when we come out here and you just said you think most blame should be on Jim Benning, We're not trying to say Travis Green doesn't deserve any blame, because absolutely he does. Because here's the thing, folks. This isn't about one 7-1 loss. This is about the past 8 years, three head coaches, okay? Three head coaches, and look, I get it. They had the partial rebuild years. I get all that. This is about 8 years of this mediocrity with this management regime, and it is also about the past 3 or 4 years, however long it's been with Travis, where, you know, up there with the worst winning percentage among any Canucks coach in history. Like, again, I completely understand that those teams were bad when he first got here, and give him credit, he did get the most out of a lot of those teams. I look at the Derek Dorsett year, for example, as a year where Travis really did get the most out of a roster. And, you know, he hasn't been given much is the main thing, right? But now, I think we all kind of look at this roster and say, okay, this is a, like, look, here's the thing, is people are now saying like, oh, well, everybody thought the roster was great. No, a lot of the, all the models still projected the Canucks to miss the playoffs with the current roster that they have. You don't make the playoffs with this defense group. You just don't.
Yeah, the forward group and the goaltending to me is, though, like, it is a playoff forward group. It's a playoff goaltending pair that you have.
Yeah.
And the defense, I think, can be snuck into the playoffs with the roster that they
have.
And
here's the thing, Chris, is this is the main issue with this Canucks team, is for them to succeed, everything has to be firing on all cylinders. Because right now, the 5-on-5 defense, it's fine. Like, they're playing fine at 5-on-5.
Shockingly fine. Yeah.
Shockingly fine. They're playing fine. But the top guys aren't doing their part right now. And the Canucks don't have a good enough defense group to hold, like, you know, to get them over that hump. They don't have good enough secondary scoring to get them over that hump when the top guys aren't firing as they should be, right?
Special teams are just atrocious.
Special teams are atrocious, and I just want to get to that. Again, like, this defense group right now, they're missing a few bodies. Like, Madison Bowie just got called up. Jack Rathbone, who wasn't even on in this lineup a week ago, is going to be playing on the second pair. Like, and he's going to be playing with Kyle Burrows, who was on the third pair. Like, that is where we're at with this defense group. And, you know, obviously I know Travis Hamonic still needs to get fully vaccinated, and that's obviously holding things back a bit. But, man, like, aside from the vaccine thing, because that's obviously kind of a blip, right? Injuries are going to happen. You need depth. You need proper depth. And this Canucks team right now, look, like, I'm sorry, if your roster construction just absolutely hinges on Tyler Mott getting healthy and Brandon Sutter, and don't get me wrong, two great players in the bottom six who are absolutely going to help things. But if your roster construction hinges on those two guys being healthy, namely Tyler Mott, you've done something wrong along the way. And the Canucks have done a lot of wrong along the way. And we know that with this management regime. This isn't about a 7-1 loss. This is about all the little mistakes and all the little unforced error. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Well, I mean, at this point in Jim Benning's tenure, yeah, it's been 1,000 paper cuts for sure. But I don't think the depth is actually that bad. Like, listen, if you need a guy in a pinch, Madison Bowie can play probably a couple games for you in the NHL. But look at the guy who's been, you know, asked to play probably above his level, and guy like Kyle Burrows. I think Kyle Burrows is in the same camp as a Madison Bowie, where, listen, if you need him for a few NHL games every year, fine. But the way that they're going to be putting that much pressure on a guy like Kyle Burrows, who doesn't have any NHL history, that's a lot. And I think Burrows has been fine in a lot of the situations that he's been asked to do. But is Burrows now going to, he's going to be a second line. He's going to be your injured. Kyle Burrows is about to be in your top four.
And here's the thing with depth, Chris, is when we say depth, we're not just talking about going out and acquiring a bunch of Luke Shens or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's from the top down. Tyler Myers is this team's first pairing defenseman. He's played great, don't get me wrong.
And their second pairing defenseman.
Well, Tucker Poolman, right? Like, Tucker Poolman's brought in and he's playing on the second pair. And have you seen much from Tucker Poolman? Because you're not going to see anything from him for the next two games because he just got suspended.
Yeah, I don't even think Poolman's been that bad, but
Poolman has been, and it's been reflected by his ice time. Travis Green has tanked Tucker Poolman's ice time and raised Tyler Myers a lot because he has no other options. That's not a coaching issue. That's a roster construction issue.
Yeah, no, I think you're right with that. And seeing Tyler Myers have to now play with OEL to keep OEL afloat, and now being asked to do it with Quinn Hughes as well. That's a lot to ask for Tyler Myers. He's going to crack at some point. You know, like, honestly, like, Tyler Myers, you love him. Give him props. Elite. This year. he has really, he's, I think out of all the defensemen on there, I mean, Quinn Hughes, obviously, you're going to get what you want. And Quinn Hughes steps up to the plate every game, it feels like, most games.
Yeah.
I guess maybe not a 7-1 loss, but Tyler Myers is really stepping up into a big role and should be given some props for what he's been doing so far this season. I mean, just looking forward now, though.
Also, like, give him credit. I think a big part of Myers' success is due to OEL. OEL's been a rock.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the top, those three defensemen, you got to be pretty happy with them.
Yep. Absolutely.
The other three defensemen that you're going to have to skate every night, you know,
but how
you're
much,
missing one because Pullman just swung his stick at a guy's head.
And then,
like, not, obviously, I Hamnick. Wouldn't call it like, you know, it's not like the Donald Brashear swing.
Oh, of course,
but
yeah.
Still, just to have that process through your head, like, come on, man, that's a stupid move.
Yeah.
It's a really stupid move to swing your stick and at a guy's head. And it's not like, I'm not saying a baseball swing, but still just like a soft swing. It's still a hockey stick coming out of guy's head.
He was trying to get untangled. I don't really, you know,
man,
I don't know how much frustration there was. And you've talked to Tucker Poole. I mean, he's a pretty mellow. He's a pretty like,
sure, but it was a little bit of a late hit on him. The guy's hand kind of got up into Pullman's face.
I don't know. When I watch it, I don't think there was a ton of intent by Pullman there.
No, he wasn't trying to take his head off, but I do think he was aware that he was swinging a stick at a guy's head. Which is why I think it was a 2-game suspension.
That's
you
fair.
Can clearly see in the videos.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, so from here, there are some options. Obviously, these options are big moves to the organization. The one thing that you, if you're sitting there and you're an optimist and you believe that everything is still okay, and that's an option on our poll question, which we'll get to a little bit later. The Canucks need to go 37-27-8 to finish the season.
They got it.
To have a 50% chance of making the playoffs. Under Travis Green, the Vancouver Canucks have had 3 win streaks over 5 games. At least 5 games long. He's had 2 at 5 and then one that was, I believe, like 7 or 8 games of a win streak. Canucks haven't had a win streak of over 3 games this season. And we're 14 games in. A huge sample size, but damn, 14 out of 82 is a good chunk of the season still. We're almost at the point now where we're talking about a quarter of the season, and the Canucks have not tied together 3 wins at any point. I want to believe that this roster can get into the playoffs. I still do believe that this roster is close enough, skilled enough at the front, has one of the best goaltenders in the league, and I've been surprised by how good the top 3 defensemen are. That it feels like this team has potential to get into the playoffs. I don't know if they can do it this year. They're only it's crazy to say they're 5 points out of a playoff spot. We're saying that this early in the year, and I'm only saying this because they still need to go 37-27-8 to get 50%. They're only 5 points out. People look at the stands like, oh, look at this, 3 wins, they're in a playoff spot. They've also like played more games than almost any other team in the league right now. So other teams are going to catch up to them, and everybody around them is winning. Everyone in the Pacific is winning except for them and Seattle. The Canucks are 2nd worst in the Pacific right now.
At least they're winning the Battle of the Border.
I guess so. Yeah, good for them. I mean, there's take your wins where you
moral
can get
victories,
them.
Baby.
Yeah, but to me, the first move that needs to be made, and I didn't think it was going to happen this year, but I do think that a coaching change is the first and most step one move that you can make if you're Jim Benning and you're trying to save your job, because he's gone if they don't make the playoffs.
He's not making that decision. That's ownership's decision. I'm
at this point, do you think, though?
Like, I don't think Jim is going to be able to make that decision without ownership.
Because if Jim's
approval.
Making the decision, it's Claude Julien coming in.
Yeah, but are the pocketbooks open like that for Claude Julien to come in to coach this team? And I don't think he's coming in this season. I think that's an offseason
And that's
hire.
The thing. If it is if the real decision is made by money, God, what the hell are we even doing here then? If that's going to be the decision, if the decision to make a coaching change is by Aquilini and it's about money, what the hell is even happening with this organization? They clearly just don't, the owner doesn't give a damn if this team wins or loses. If they go out and they bring in like an AHL coach. Listen, what if Brad Hunt steps in? What if Trent Cull steps in?
Mike Babcock's cheap. I'm not saying they should hire Mike Babcock.
No.
But Mike Babcock is not going to sign for a lot of money if he ever coaches in the NHL again. And look,
I don't even really have, I just don't have time for the
I get it.
I know that
it.
People have, and I know you're not pushing it, but I know it's out there that people are saying Mike Babcock will get this team back. Or
yeah, I don't know about that one, Chief.
I don't agree either. That's what I'm saying. I've seen the name out there. I have time. I have a lot of time for a guy like Bruce Boudreau, who literally is like on his tour right now to get back into the NHL as a head coach. The dude was on Vancouver radio 2 days ago. He's on Sportsnet 650 2 days ago talking to them. He obviously wants to get back to the NHL. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing this stuff. I have time for Bruce Boudreau for sure. That's a hard name to say.
Bruce.
What did I say?
Bruce.
Oh, man. Bruce Boudreau. That's a hard one to say. I wouldn't like that.
I really want him to get hired now just to hear you have to say it all the time.
But like, I have time for Dan Bilesma. Bilesma.
Holy cow. What's going on here, Rick?
I slipped up a couple there.
Goodness. Bilesma.
Dan Bilesma. That's another.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what he's doing right now?
Yeah, coaching the AHL. I only know that because you told me, though.
He's the assistant coach in the AHL for the Seattle Kraken. Want to build a rivalry, go steal their AHL assistant coach. Huh. But he's another option. Interviewed with the Vancouver Canucks in 2014. You may remember.
Nice little tidbit.
Lost it to Willie D. But, you know, like, yeah, at least he was there for the interview. That's an option. That's another name. Yeah. Bruce Boudreau and Dan Bilesma.
Yeah, Bilesma.
But oh, man, I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't like those names. Claude Julien, I could say.
Here's the thing is Travis isn't gone yet, right? And I think if he goes, it's going to be an interim head coach.
Probably Brad Hunt.
Brad Shaw, not Brad Hunt.
Why do I see, man? I am struggling today.
Hot start for Chris today. Brad Hunt comes out of the press box behind the bench in a suit. Hey,
anything could be better than what we saw the other night.
Maybe. Like talking to Brad Hunt. I would not mind talking to Brad Hunt every day for media.
Yeah, you guys all love Brad Hunt. I wasn't there for like the media availability really nice at training camp, so I don't have the love for Brad Hunt like everyone in the media does. Yeah,
don't you ever say anything bad about Brad Hunt?
I know. Apparently,
he's nice
not
to the media. What was I saying?
Okay, so is Joe DiGadjevich.
Here's the thing is, look, folks, like, we're not out here saying fire Travis. We're not out here saying fire Benning. What we are saying is that sometimes change for the sake of change and a new voice is important. And when you look at a management regime that hasn't been able to get the job done, when you look at a management regime whose best year was the year that they inherited the roster from Mike Gillis, and that was the best roster that this team has had. From a pure points in the regular season perspective, that was the best roster this regime has had. Might be time for a new voice. When we look at the bench here, it is very reasonable to believe that this team has given up on Travis Green and is not buying what he's selling.
Yeah, that's the thing. They need to have some sort of positive reassurance that what they're trying to do
actually works and makes sense.
Yeah, and right now you're not getting that at all. No. You're not getting that at all. And listen, they're going into two games here on the weekend, back-to-back games. They're going into Vegas on Saturday night. They're at Vegas a day early. Probably should have been a day where you could, you know, enjoy Vegas a little bit. Elias Pettersson's birthday today, you know. Some things that you could go out and maybe not get, you know, go have a nice day in Vegas. Not a nice night.
I think on the ride to Denver, they must have celebrated early.
Well, maybe. I think they would have played with more effort if they had a couple drinks going into that game, but they looked horrible on 7-1. Like, I was watching that game, and I'm just sitting there and like, jokingly saying, oh, they're going to get another 2-on-1 here and score. And then it's like, oh, there's a 2-on-1. They come down and score. And then it's like, oh, well, it's 5-0. They're probably going to make it 6. 15 seconds later, boom, another goal. It's that, like, we work this. This is our job. Like, I think we work pretty hard to put out content, to write, to put out the podcast. Like, you know, we try pretty hard with all this. Maybe not me. I'm sucking with names this episode. It's not a good episode for me. This is a 7-1 loss for me right here. But I think there was a caller into 650 that I heard the other last night after a 7-1 loss. And they were saying, if you show up to your job for 14 days in a row and you don't do your job, you're probably fired. Like, you're probably fired.
Yeah.
Now, these guys are making millions of dollars. And how many of them haven't shown up in the last 2 weeks?
Yep. No, I think it's fair.
It's obviously different. They have a contract. They're protected by the NHLPA. Get yourself a union if you get a chance, folks.
Could you imagine if they just show up? It's like, you know what? You haven't scored lately.
The NHLPA
is
done. There's no more unionized. You can just get fired like it's the NFL. I mean, yeah, to me, like, the first step and the step that I think is going to happen first here, like, there's two things that can happen over the next week. They can win all of their games, which is, I sure as hell hope it happens. Cause hell, listen, yeah, man, going into the season, I had high hopes for the playoffs. I think we even said on the show that, like, if they don't make the playoffs this year We're switching to Toronto Blue Jays show because goddamn are the Blue Jays exciting and fun to talk about.
They didn't make
about.
The playoffs either.
Well, they're still freaking exciting anyways.
Jump from one playoff failure to another.
Well, whatever. Like there's actually some things. I mean, there's things to be excited about. With
we should just call it the runners up podcast and just, you know,
yeah, people
cover all the teams that
show.
Just missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Runners up podcast. No, I mean, we're not even getting to that point right now. Anyways, the team's not going to be a runner up, but like that's the option. They can go on a win streak. They can go on a big win streak here and everything can turn around and everything could be great. And you know what? That can happen. That can happen in sports. But for everything that we're following this year, what would lead you to think that that's a real possibility?
I'm gonna come out here and be Mr. Positivity and say that, one, that is a real possibility.
Sure,
but
it is.
If it happens, it's only because everything is firing on all cylinders at the same time. Like, I have no doubt Thatcher Demko is not going to take a step back. I've said that since last year, and I got criticized for it. Whatever, not a big deal. But I don't think Thatcher Demko is taking a step back. I don't really think the 5-on-5 defense is going to take a huge step back. But
if something were to, though, that would probably be
if something were to, one injury, all it takes is one injury and this team's done.
And I guess, like, Elias Pettersson can't take a step back because he's already up against the wall. He can't go back any further.
There's nowhere further back.
Watching him play, like, he might have been the worst Canuck.
He was very bad yesterday. And Travis doesn't name names in his post-game interviews, but he was talking about how there were a lot of guys that didn't show up today, last night. On Thursday, when they played. That's what he said. There was a few guys that didn't show up. Not going to name names, but he did mention as well, the top guys need to start being the top guys. Like, you look at Connor McDavid in Edmonton, scores that huge goal against the Rangers. The post-game quote is just, I don't really know what to say. Like, I'm paid big money to score big goals, and that's what I do.
And that's Connor freaking McDavid. But, like, look at the Avalanche. Look at when Nathan MacKinnon, their best player, is gone. Look at the control and confidence and just how Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen and who was friggin' Josh O'Connor. Hey, even he's having a good game. But like you look at their stars and their top players, they went out and took that game. Mikko Rantanen, every single shift that dude had, he looked dangerous. Cale Makar, every time the puck touched his stick in the offensive zone, he looked dangerous. He was skating circles around the five defenders that the Canucks had on the ice. Literally skating a full circle around the rink with the puck. No one's even stepping in to do anything. And on top of that, who is it that got hit pretty hard? It was one of the fourth line guys got hit in the back and there was a penalty for it, a boarding call. Juho Lamikko's on the ice. It might have been Justin Bailey who took the hit. Or it might have been, no, it was Dowling. Dowling took the hit. You got Justin Bailey on the ice. You got Juho Lamikko on the ice. I don't even know which defenseman on the ice. Lamikko was the one that was clearly right beside the play. Doesn't do anything. You're losing that bad in a hockey game, and the player on your team gets hit in the back and on a clear penalty that was called, and he just kind of skates over there and just leans into the player.
The give a bleep meter for this team was low on Thursday.
Yeah. And Thursday to me is 100%, like maybe not 100%, but a lot of it, a very high percentage of it, that's on the coach when you go out and lose 7-1. And that's why I think if they lose this weekend, I don't know if Green's back when they get back from this road trip.
No.
And if they lose both these games, I don't think Green's back when they get back on the homestand here.
This is what I will say.
Brad Hunt can coach. Brad Shaw can coach. Any of them can coach.
This is what I will say.
Trent Cull can get the call up.
Yeah, this is what I will say.
The call up.
Okay, relax. This is what I will say is if there is anybody that's going to be fired, and we'll get to this in the poll question, I do think it's Travis Green. Not saying that's what I think should happen. I'm saying that if anybody's going to get fired, it's going to be Travis Green. Whether you agree with it or not, you have to at least see if these players will start playing for another coach. Because right now, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility to say that Travis Green has lost this locker room.
No, and I think the question was asked. Like, Farhan asked the question
yesterday.
He
did a great job asking that question.
He did. He phrased it in the best way possible, and Travis is going to say, we all knew what the answer was going to be. No, of course. He was worried about next game.
Yep.
Sure, you can worry about next game, but I'll tell you what, if that's going to be your answer on Thursday night, you better, you know, I'm trying not to swear here, you better damn right show up to Saturday's game, like you said. Because if you don't, and that question has been boiling over since the post game against Colorado. You go through that Vegas game and it doesn't even have to be the same score. But man, if they lose like 4-1, absolutely. We know the answer to the question. He's lost the room if they show up in Vegas, or if they don't show up in Vegas. he's absolutely lost the rune if that's what happens. And then you're gonna lose to Vegas if that happens. You go into Anaheim. They just beat you last week. Like I said, if they lose both these two games here,
heads are gonna roll.
And even if they win these two games here, it's not even enough. Like, it's not enough to really say that everything's okay.
No,
we're so early in the season, and we're saying that these like one game has completely wrecked this team, and now two wins can't even get them close to back on track.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing I wanted to add to my earlier point is, yeah, I think Travis is going to be the one that gets fired if anybody gets fired. I still am not convinced that there's going to be any changes made. Travis.
If they win, let's just say the way that the Canucks record goes. Let's say they win one. Let's say they win Vegas, they lose to Anaheim. Nothing happens.
Nope, nothing happens.
They lose both. Does something happen?
No, but then if they come home and lose to Colorado, something happens. There's going to be boos. There was fire green chants at that game against New York before it got turned around.
Hmm.
Right? Like, that's where we're at. The pressure is getting turned back.
And the fan base is, it's going to be able to be heard now.
Yeah.
Right?
And here's the thing, Chris.
They have fans back in the arena, man.
Yep. Here's the thing is, what I was just saying is, yeah, Travis is probably going to be the guy to get fired mid-season. But if they don't make the playoffs, I think it's been clear to everybody in this market. I think it's been clear to everybody in that organization. This is Jim Benning's final year as general manager of the Canucks if this team doesn't make the playoffs. No questions asked.
And I think a coach is easier to find a replacement for during the season than a general manager.
Exactly, which is why I think it's Travis that goes first.
Yep. And if it's, I don't know. We're going to get, I want to see what the results of the poll question are. Yeah. So we'll get to that on the other side.
We'll get into your guys' response to the question that Chris and I basically just touched on a bit there. On the other side of the break, we'll get into the poll question. So keep it locked, keep it loaded on Canucks Conversation. Muddler's Pink Lemonade. We are so excited to tell you guys about Muddler's Pink Lemonade, my drink of choice. You guys have all seen it by now. Faber and I went out drinking. That was my drink of choice first night.
I think that the catchphrase for this ad has to be, it's the only alcohol that Quads likes.
Absolutely. It's so good. It's absolutely the best pink lemonade on the market by far. A lot of these other drinks are just a little too sweet for me. Like, I don't really like that. And this is like a nice mix because I also don't like when it tastes too much like alcohol. But this is like the perfect balance. There's a reason that it was the drink I got when we went to the Parallel Street Kitchen as well.
It, absolutely, man. It is the sweet spot for Quads in the alcoholic beverage realm. You can find it, like you said, at Parallel 49 Street Kitchen and in a ton of liquor stores. All the BC liquor stores have it. It's the bright pink cans, Muddler's Pink Lemonade. Go out and try it today. Alert, alert. Parallel 49 is bringing back one of its favorite beers of the winter. The Salty Scott is back, folks. The Scotch Ale we all know and love is now available across British Columbia in their government and private liquor stores. Enjoy a strong caramel flavor, a salty bite, and a generous 7.5% alcohol. It only takes one of these tall boys to get the night going. So go out and try a Parallel 49 Salty Scott today.
And a massive thank you to all of our sponsors here at the Canucks Conversation Podcast. Speaking of which, Chris, it's time for our poll question, brought to you by Blue Orca Sports Memorabilia at Fuel the Fan on Twitter. Folks, Christmas is coming up. Go buy the Canucks fan in your life some memorabilia. A lot of good stuff there. Go check them out at Fuel the Fan on Twitter. Definitely go check them out. Good people there at Blue Orca Sports Memorabilia. We'll get to the poll question now. We said, because I'm angry was not an option on this poll. We know you're angry, but what changes would you like to see? Fire the GM? Fire the coach? Fire both or nothing, wait and see. Chris, 25% say fire the GM, 9% say fire the coach. A whopping 58% running away with this one say fire both, and 8%, somehow 8% of people out there still saying nothing, wait and see. And you know what? If the question was, what do you think is you're going to see? I think the options with the two fewest votes are going to be what actually happens in the immediate future. And that's either nothing, wait and see, and fire the coach.
For the people that answer nothing, wait and see, like how much longer do you think people can wait?
11-year plan. Remember we had an episode called Jim Benning's 11-year plan?
Yep.
And yes, Caleb on Twitter. Caleb's saying you can't really evaluate until the Luongo recapture comes.
I don't know, man. I think things are even bad with Caleb. I've seen him. He's tweeting about the Abbotsford Canucks now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Might have to get him out there.
Which we'll get to later. I was on the ground again there today.
Yeah. Also, Caleb's coming on to Canucks Army. Yeah, there is a plan in place for Caleb to write an article for Canucks Army.
I like Caleb, but
I like Caleb too.
It's going to be interesting. Yep. I'll tell you that.
We were told we need more positivity, so I brought Caleb on.
Yeah. Well, to get back to the poll question, you know, people want to see change in this fan base. It's very clear. It's very clear if you're looking online, if you're looking at how people are reacting in the comment sections on Twitter, Instagram, anywhere where there's comments and fans can have their voices heard, they're making it pretty clear that this fan base is tired. Like, this fan base is tired, man. They just have not gotten enough things to be happy about in the 8 years of Jim Benning as a general manager. And I've given this guy so many different chances to just think that things were going to start to turn around, and still, like, maybe things can turn around, but man, there can't be many more chances. There has to be zero more chances. No more chances.
No more runway, as you very nicely put it this morning in your column.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's, I don't know how much further down this road they can go. Like I said, there is no more runway. This is it.
This is the roster. This is Jim Benning's team. The only player on this roster that wasn't acquired by Jim Benning is Bo Horvat. That's how long he's had.
Who's been the best player.
The captain of the team and the best player of the team is the only player that Jim Benning himself did not handpick and acquire.
And you know what's the problem is? The spot that Jim Benning is traded away assets, traded away things that could have helped in the future, traded away things that could have maybe helped you make better trades, bring in, let's say the Canucks add some extra seconds or extra firsts right now.
Or a Gustav Forsling.
Sure, but even just the extra draft picks, if they would have had some right now, maybe that's what you use to go get yourself a third line center who makes Podkolzin and Garland become an actual scoring line.
Yep.
Instead of Dickinson. And then Dickinson could be a great fourth line guy. A great fourth line guy. Then Tyler Mott comes back, you'd be looking at a lot of things. Or when you have to address the defense core.
This is what
they don't have anything to do it.
This is what depth means, folks. Like, exactly what you're saying, Faber. It's not just going out and getting six Juho Lamikos or, you know, the Sea of Granlunds. Like, depth isn't, oh, let's go claim Jimmy Vesey. Let's go get Travis Boyd. That's not depth. Depth is when you have good enough players that the players who were in huge roles before are getting bumped down your lineup. Like, take Tyler Myers, for example. We're talking about how great he's been. How great would it be if Tyler Myers was doing what he's doing now with less minutes in a second or third pairing role because there was a better right-handed defenseman in front of him? That's the difference with this team, is the depth.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And that's
where
I think
the roster construction is, right?
And that's why I think when you look at it this far in, I don't think you can put a lot of the blame should be on the players. The most of the blame should be on Jim Benning, and then
there
I think
should
it falls
be blame
down
on players, but yeah.
Sure. Then it falls down to Travis Green next in my book, and then it falls down to the players after that.
Yes.
I think that's the way that my, you know, and the thing is, like, and maybe people are very, if they have a take that's disagreeing with that, I also have time for it, because you could point fingers at all three.
Yeah.
You can point fingers at the GM, you can point fingers at the coach, you can point fingers at the players. All three are valid right now.
And
it just depends on who you want to throw more blame on.
Let's not forget the ownership group. The ownership group does.
Well, all the fingers should be at the ownership.
Sure.
Group too.
Okay.
They are
if that's
the ones,
what you're saying. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm not even including them in that mix because I think
they deserve all of it.
All of it should be pointed at them for that. And yeah. You know what? For them to just not really, it just feels like there's a disconnect between
the fan base
yep. because of the situation that the owner and general manager have put them in. And the disconnect is going, like, this is a city that loves their Vancouver Canucks, but also loves when the Vancouver, like, well, no, this city likes the Vancouver Canucks. The city loves the Canucks when they're winning.
Exactly.
They're about to be at a point right now where people are going to stop even liking the Canucks. A lot of people have already stopped loving the Vancouver
Honestly,
Canucks.
I talk to a lot of casual fans, and a lot of my friends know what I do for work, and they all ask me, and they're like, do the Canucks still suck? I'm like, yeah. They're like, yeah, I haven't watched since 2012.
Yeah, no, and that's just going to get worse.
Yep.
And what's happened since 2012? Jim Benning has happened since, well, I mean, 2014. But still, yeah. You're having the same since then.
You get it. I mean, they qualified for the playoffs in 2015.
Right. And they qualified for the playoffs in 2020.
Yeah.
But Did anyone care? Did any of the casual people care? Did I see people gathering together? And I guess it couldn't in 2020, but
they still did. Scott Rhodes. Some people came out. You started to see. You started to see the remains of the fan base coming back. Right.
But I remember 2011
exactly,
and those years. Like I was, I was a teenager at the time. But it was whose house are we watching the game at?
Yep.
Where are we all getting together to watch the game? We couldn't go to bars because I was, like I said, I was a teenager. But whose house were we watching the game at? Who has the best man cave to go down there and watch or whatever, the biggest TV at the time?
Totally.
That's what it was all about. I just don't think that's happening. Obviously, the pandemic's changed. But that's, even if the pandemic wasn't happening, I don't think that would be happening very much anymore, no. Man. And I think that's, there's a lot of mistakes made by this organization every day. But the big ones are just, I think the biggest one is not connecting the right way with the fan base or giving the fan, when the fan base makes, this Vancouver fan base is so loud that their reactions and the, like a big majority of their reactions are seen online, or obviously people are reading what these people are tweeting about, tagging now everyone's just tagging Aquilini in tweets.
Yeah.
You can't tell me, you cannot tell me that he has not seen some of people tweeting at him.
Seen some of it, I'm sure.
Sure. I guarantee he's not seen it all, but I have to believe that he's seen some of this and needs to make a decision here, because I don't know how much longer you want to keep going down this road when this road doesn't lead to anything. This road doesn't lead to the promised land, unfortunately. And I think that a lot of people knew that in year two. A lot of people knew that in year six. And you don't want to get to, I mean, we're about to be at a point where everybody knows. In year eight, everybody's going to know now. There's a lot of people that bashed a lot of the early things Jim Benning did, and totally fair. We don't have to hash out all the trades that he made with the good Bransons or McCanns and everything that was swapped around, and early trades to bring in veteran leadership and high draft picks going out the door when his strength was drafting, and those draft picks probably could have done something for a team right now. But we don't have to rehash all of that. We've done that enough on the episode. Everybody knows. It's just, people now, even some of the most optimistic fans, have to question what Jim Benning is doing, because this isn't the right path to a Stanley Cup. I'm sorry. This might be a path that maybe gets you to a playoff spot, and maybe that gets Jim another year, and then maybe they make the playoffs again next year. Maybe that gets him another year. But it's a bunch of maybes. It's not, you don't see where this team is trying to get to with the people that are in charge right now. And to get back to the poll question, you have the players on your team that you have, and you have a lot of them locked up for long term. You could trade. I mean, you could make trades from this core, but I do think that there's a lot of promise in this core. I just don't think the people that are ascending, that are putting together, assembling the things that are around the core, I don't think the people making that decision are doing a good enough job to have the confidence of a very smart hockey fan base. And that's what I think is going to end up hurting this team and ultimately costing some people their jobs. But man, Jim Benning has had a hell of a run avoiding being fired. He's done a hell of a job not getting fired. And I don't know how much longer it can last. Like, I'm not saying that it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it's going to happen a month from now or even at the end of the season, because nothing would shock me with Jim Benning's employment from the Vancouver Canucks anymore. Like, nothing would shock me. It wouldn't shock me to see him be the GM for another 3 years.
Jim's 11-year plan.
Yeah, then he can show it. Yeah. There has to be a, I saw a tweet the other day. It was like, you can't tell me that Harmon Dial as the general manager for the last 8 years would be in a worse spot. And he's probably right. Yeah. But whoever tweeted that out, they're probably right.
Harmon would never admit that.
No, I know. And Harmon would never say, by the way, Harm,
post living
that video that he just posted.
Yeah.
He's at a beach resort or whatever pool resort in Vegas.
Yeah.
God damn. Yeah. 21 years old in Vegas. Harmon must be having a good time.
Yeah. Harmon and I were, Harmon and I are obviously friends, and we talk a lot about, 21-year-old things and going out and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
And,
well, I bet he's having a good, Harm deserves it. A little vacation for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Everybody who covers this team deserves it.
Yeah, man. I can't wait for December
to hit. Edmonton.
When I finish school here on the 10th of December,
Patreon content. That's when we'll get the shots with Harmon going.
Oh, I cannot wait for some time off. Like, this team just you know what? Like,
let's not try to diverge.
Just to get back, I just want people to like put them. I don't want to do this and make people sad, but like, just for a second, come with me on this journey here. What were your feelings like watching the Canucks when they let in the sixth goal of the game? Did you make it to that point? Like, I'm asking the listener here.
Well, therapist, Chris.
Did they make it to that point when the sixth goal was scored and it was 6-0 and the Canucks forwards had 5 shots? Like, what are you thinking about the team? And if you still believe that this coach, this general manager are the right people for the job, and that's something you're about to tweet about that, or you're about to make your voice heard about that, think back to the moment in that 7-1 game. Think back to any moment in that game and just remember that, because that wasn't just one game for the Vancouver Canucks. That just felt like a buildup of everything, because yes, they lost, they scored one goal. They were scored on 7 times, but I just think back to how many times during the Jim Benning era that we've seen the team get one win in 5 games or one win in 7 games, where it's like,
are these the real Canucks?
Yes, that was just one game. But that one game really felt like just a lot of other things that have happened in the past with this franchise. It just, that was, you know, you talk about ripping the scab off of a scar again. That was like a brand new scar just from that one game, because it really crushed everything that it felt like this team was sort of working towards here. It's
wow.
That type of game can just, like, it just wrecked me, man. Like, it did. Like, I was like, what are we doing here covering this team?
You got to try it at some time.
Try what?
Apathy. Like, not caring what happens, just doing your job. That's what I do. I've been there for about a year now.
See, that's my biggest problem. It's like, you know, yesterday it just cracked me. Like, it really did. Like, I really, like, more than anything, with this being our job, God damn, I would love to just, like, have fun with the players that are going into the playoffs, doing something exciting. And I want... Like, I'm not the person to be the general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, but the person who's making that much money and is put into that position should be doing a way better job than what Jim Benning is doing. It's just, like, I know that everyone just is like, oh, you can't be like armchair GMs. God damn, man. Like, what we're seeing right now, is that even better? Is it better than an armchair GM a lot of the time? Because I don't think so. And I don't know, even like, to me still, like, I still believe that the roster was improved from last year. And there has to be blame on the coach too. To me, like looking at the single game, 7-1 loss, that's on the coach. Seeing what they do on Saturday as a response, that's on the coach. I thought about this on the drive over here. Let's say Jim Benning were to go down to the locker room being like, hey guys, this game is really important. This could be the game that saves my job. Do you think any Vancouver Canuck is like, let's play for Jim, let's keep Jim's job? Seriously, do you think any player in that whole room is like, you hear that? Jim said we got to go play for him. Maybe Tyler Myers, because how much money he's making. But would any player do that? And now, like, that, I think that disconnect is clear. The worry would be, say they lose these 2 games, and they go into that first home game and Travis goes into that locker room and says, hey, I need a 1,000% effort from you guys. I need to see your best game of the season this year. How many players do it at that point for Travis Green? I think more than Tyler Myers, but are there players that wouldn't do it? Like, are there players that wouldn't say, oh, I need this to be my best game of the year. Travis needs it. And that's when he's lost the room. And I don't think we're far from that.
No, I don't think so either. Because like you just said, like, yeah, I don't think anybody's doing it for Jim, but are they doing it for Travis?
Right now, I think yes, but how much longer until there are more no's multiplying in the locker room? Because I bet there are a few right now that aren't.
Yep. I think it was evident. I think it was the performance last night.
And that's the thing. He's going to have a huge pep talk going into this game on Saturday against Vegas. You might be able to see it. You might be able to see it on the ice.
You know who's going to try his best for Travis?
Bo Horvat.
Vasily Podkolzin.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I don't even want to spend any time talking about how much I love pods in this episode. I'm not going to do it.
This is a sad episode.
Sad episode, man. I'll be a little more upbeat now. Talking about the prospects. Are we going to get to that?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I was out there in Abbey today chatting with Trent Call. No Travis Hamonic on Friday night. Couldn't really get a real answer why, but found it kind of interesting. Obviously, there's a bunch of things that people can assume on their own. I've already seen a lot of people assuming why, but...
careful doing that, folks.
Yeah, careful doing that. You don't want to get sued. There are a lot of options why Hamonic might not be in the lineup.
Let's list every single one of them. I'm just kidding.
You know, he just might not be healthy enough to play.
We don't know, though.
We don't know. It could be anything. Maybe just a little banged up, you know? Could be an arm injury or something. Shoulder, groin, lots of stuff can hurt, could keep Hamonic out of the lineup. But he might be back on Sunday. That's what Cole told me. So maybe we'll see him on Sunday. But other things out there, I find it like it's going to be interesting because today I'm watching warm up or game day skate. And first guy that, or guy who didn't even see on the ice was Archer Seelov. So I'm wondering if he was off very early. And then Mikey stays super late to get work in. Has to make me assume that like Archer Seelov's or Spencer Martin's getting the start tonight, right? Because you're a goalie guy. The goalie who stays on late for a lot of work with the guys, it's he doesn't normally get the start that night, right?
No. Like, here's the thing is, I think Seelov starts tonight. And I think the only way he starts on Sunday is if he gets a shutout. That's the rule. That's the goalie union.
Even if
rule.
He lets in one, though. Like, letting in one goal in the AHL is basically a shutout. Like,
yeah, but you still have Mikey. I think Mike, they're going to want to play Mike DiPietro on Sunday.
And people are like, people are down on the Abbotsford Canucks right now. The last two weekends, the two teams that they've played, literally neither of those two teams has a regulation loss. So, like, those are some really good teams. Ontario
and
Reign.
Did you say they only lost to each other?
Yeah, they overtime? Have. They only have a... So, Stockton has an overtime loss. They lost in overtime to Ontario, and Ontario has a shootout loss, and they lost in a shootout to Stockton. So those two teams have not lost in regulation. The Canucks are now playing the San Jose Barracuda, which great team name, I think, in my eyes.
Yeah.
And they're a team that they should beat. They should beat them in both these games. So we'll see what happens this weekend. For them, Will Lockwood, nice to get him back to a full week of practice. Got to spend some time with his parents last weekend, he said, which was great. He found a bass fishing spot too. So he's all excited about that. He's got his rods up here now. He's ready to rock and roll and do some bass fishing in Abbotsford, which I didn't even know there was, but apparently there is. So good for him. He's going to be back in the lineup. And Cole was saying that, he just wants to get Lockwood out like all the time. Like, you know, man, I don't think Lockwood's far from the NHL. I think we've all seen that. I think, if things start to go bad here for the Vancouver Canucks, Lockwood should be a real quick call to say you want a guy who's going to come into your lineup and give a bleep. You know, he's the right guy for the job. That would be someone who could fire up a fourth line. If you bring in a Lockwood and Tyler Motta on the same line, you're going to get some energy. You're going to get some give a damn meter from those two guys. So I'm excited to watch Lockwood get back into action here. Going to be at the game on Sunday to check that out. And, I don't really have much more from Abbotsford, but Zlodiev. I do. Yeah, Zlodiev playing with Russia in the U-20 team. Still on track to be with Russia at the World Juniors, I would assume. They're playing in a tournament right now, so it's good to see Zlodiev getting the opportunity to play with the U-20 team for Russia, playing third line center right now. And that's kind of where I have him pegged to be at the World Juniors as well. I think he's a third or fourth line center, depending on where they want to play him in the lineup, if they really believe in his offense or not. But still progressing towards being in the World Juniors, which is a good sign because the Canucks aren't going to have a lot of World Junior players this year, unfortunately. So that's all I really got for prospects, man. I don't know how much more I can go for this episode. It's been a sad episode.
I usually say, Chris, this has been a fun episode as always. I had fun. I still find it fun to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, but it wasn't very,
you sounded really sad.
Well, that's the thing.
I was fired up.
And you were saying, like, you have apathy. I don't have it yet. I just,
you know what I want? I want to see this team do well, and I want the best for Canucks fans because I want fans to actually care. And, you know, a little bit of a selfish reason because I'd like them to listen to our podcast and read Canucks Army.
And give a damn about the Canucks.
Yeah, like, it's more fun to cover a winner than it is to cover a loser, but sure. I don't let myself get upset about it.
That's yeah,
it.
Well, it's not even that to me. It's just, like, it's fun to cover something that people care about. Like, listen, yeah, man, I could be going down right now and covering Junior B hockey, and I could be having the best time of my life watching the Coquitlam Express.
I'm sure Junior A. They're Junior A.
Whatever. I'm sure they got a bunch of really cool stories going on.
They do.
Well, I could be, you know who I couldn't be covering? I heard this the other day in my Nanaimo Buccaneers. They're 0-7. They're something like 0-17-1.
You covering this Canucks team is just
I used to cover the Nanaimo Buccaneers back in the day. You know who I used to cover too? BCIHL, Vancouver Island Mariners.
Yeah,
I was on the broadcast team for that. That was a mess. But that was fun. But it was fun. I had fun. But you know what? No one gives a damn that I cover that team. No one cared that I covered the Vancouver Island University Mariners and the BCIHL. Vancouver Canucks people want to care about, but they're not doing themselves any favors of late. And they're not doing themselves any favors with Jim Benning over the past 8 years. They haven't gained a lot of fans in the last 8 years.
That's a really good point. Owner, and the revenue and stuff too, right?
As an owner, you think you would care a lot about gaining fans. It's lucky that the Vancouver Vancouver, the number one sports thing, and nothing's even close to it. I'm sorry to the Whitecaps and the Lions and whatever else is going on here. Fraser Valley Bandits. Vancouver Canucks are always going to be number one for, maybe not always, you know, like they're just right now, they have such a stranglehold on the sports community here in Vancouver that it's going to be really sad when people do start to check out because they've had, you know, since the CFL kind of died down and they're not going anywhere anytime soon, but it's going to be a sad day when people really just check out because people are checking out daily now in the Vancouver Canucks. And it'd be nice to see a change where people want to start to care about this team, but I don't think we're even close to that. It's a sad day. Sad day, sad week, sad 8 years for the fan base. Really is. Seriously is. Like it the is, last yeah. 8 years have been so sad for the fan base that it's like, what is there to hope for now? You have Elias Pettersson, you have Quinn Hughes, great. You got some superstars. Well, maybe you got some stars.
They're not super right now.
They're not super right now. That's
well, Quinn Hughes is. Quinn Hughes has been great.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes is great.
Really good,
is he point per game still?
Yeah, he is.
Good for him.
Good for Quinn Hughes. We're only happy for Quinn Hughes.
I don't know. Vancouver Giants are fun to watch right now.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up before you like start crying on the podcast. All right, for Chris Faber, my name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.